community action program for children. And so we've noticed that our bin has been kind of low for the last couple of months. We just do encourage you to support this ministry as we seek to be a blessing to the community in the area here. One of the exciting news that's coming up is we're hoping to be involved with them even further. And we're looking at a weekly ministry with them as they seek to use our church facility for a community kitchen. So more updates on that. Lastly, also, we have this morning, the Outflow Sunday small group starts today. And so if you came last week for the Outflow small group and there wasn't any, that's because we're starting today. And we do have the books today. I did remember to bring them. So please do see me after the service and you can get the books then. This time I'd like to invite you to pray with me. We have a couple of prayer items here. And then we'll also pray for our speaker, Raymond, this morning. Will you join me? Father God, we just thank you again for today. Father, we thank you that we can come into your presence. And Lord, that you are truly awesome in this place. And Lord, you are our Redeemer. Father, we have a peace like a river. And we also have your Son who shines brightly in our lives. So Father, I pray this morning that these songs that we've sung, we can take them deeply into our lives. And they reflect our relationship with you. And reflect our faith. Father God, this morning we want to pray for a few family members in our church. We want to remember Melody and Michelle Wong this morning. Their grandmother passed away last week. And Lord, we just pray you just be with the family now as they go through this time of bereavement. I pray, Father, you give them comfort and peace during this time. And let them continue to be a blessing and a support to the family as well. Father, we want to remember Javier Sam this morning. We want to remember his mom, who is undergoing a liver transplant. And so, Father, we pray again you be with Javier, his family, and be with his mom through this time as well. Father God, we just pray now for Raymond. We thank you, Lord, for this young man and this is call in his life that you placed. And Lord, we are looking forward to the message that you've placed in his heart. And I pray, Father, that he will bless us and inspire us and even challenge us this morning. Let us have ears to hear and hearts to receive. In Jesus' most holy and precious name. Amen. I guess somebody's not happy. I guess I'm going to know what that's like in 3 weeks.
what we're talking about today, kind of related to last week, where Sherman kind of just outlined for us what is overflowing life, what does that look like? And today we're going to talk about how that overflowing life that was described last week, how that comes from a relationship with Jesus, how that comes from how we have or don't have that relationship with God. I mean, we should be asking, hopefully, on a regular basis, you know, what is my current relationship with God? How are me and God getting along right now? Yes, that's good. But also, it's important, I think, to ask how I would like my relationship with God to be like. What do I desire it to be? Future. A future orientation. What is it down the road? Not just now, but down the road. And also, what don't I want my relationship with God to be like? So on the negative side of things, what do you not want to see then? Sometimes it's hard to think of these things because God is an invisible God. And it's not like you can shake his hand, give him a high five. I guess you could do all these things. It's kind of like a hypothetical high five. But sometimes it helps to think of the invisible relationship in terms of our visible, tangible relationships. So our relationships with other people, between each other. So what do I want a good relationship to be like between myself and German or Lorraine or Hansel? Or what don't I want that to look like? I mean, some pretty obvious things that we don't want our relationships to be like are, you know, rude, angry, spiteful. You know, we don't really want to form relationships. We can't really form relationships with people who are uncaring, who ignore you. It's just hard. It's just not doable. So therefore, you know, taking this down the road, would we want a relationship with a God who is these things? A God who doesn't care. A God who is angry. A God who is hateful. Right? Now, believe it or not, there are a lot of people who view God exactly as that. Hateful, racist, sexist, ignorant, outdated, all these things. And that there is reason enough not to even start consider a relationship with God or any type of higher power, because it's like, why would I bother? Right? You know, it's very funny how people are quick to throw these terms on God, and then when they talk about Jesus, they're like, yeah, Jesus is a great guy. He's a great teacher. He's a great example of a good person. And they'll make that distinction. And Philip would ask of Jesus in the Bible, in John 14, Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied. That's Philip asking that. You know, he wants to know the Father. He wants to know, he desires to know the Father, God. What does he look like? And Jesus is answering. Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip, even after I have been among you for such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? So Jesus is claiming, God the Father looks like him. Okay. What's so special about that? Well, coming back to our beginning point, talking about overflowing life. So, overflowing life comes out of the relationship we have with God. Jesus is saying that who sees him has seen God. Put those two statements together. Overflowing life comes out of that relationship we have with Jesus. And therefore, through that, also, the relationship we have with God. So what's so special about that? Well, Philip's question leads us into some points that you kind of see behind you on your bulletins there. So So then, point number one, Jesus does relationships differently. So maybe Philip is asking this. Jesus, how or what does a relationship with the Father look like? How does the Father even relate to us? What does he have to do with us? How does he have anything to do with us? And Jesus is answering, don't you know how I relate to people, Philip? Haven't you seen me relate to people in the life I've led, in the travels we've journeyed together? I have been among you for such a long time. Anyone who has seen how I relate to people has seen how the Father relates to people. So, Jesus does relationships differently. Differently? Pause. How differently? Pretty bold statement here from the poet, W.H. Auden. Almost all of our relationships begin, and most of them continue, as forms of mutual exploitation. A barter to be terminated when one or both parties run out of goods. Very economic. It's funny, he's a poet, but he's writing essentially of relationships as an economic exchange. Sometimes it feels like that, doesn't it? That our relationships, our friendships, or acquaintanceships, have to have a purpose, right? It's like, well, why else would I know? I mean, granted, it's not everyone that we know we treat like that, but, you know, can you think of people in your life who are in that role, who are there because they serve a function, who are there because there's some exchange that needs to be done, who are there, well, honestly, because they're placed there, because there's no way on any day that you would go out of your way to be their friends normally. You know them, or you know of them, and that's about it. I mean, some of you might be thinking, no, there's no one in my life like that. Really? Really? Think hard. Maybe it's not even hard. Come on. Coworkers? School relationships, teachers? Friends who you only speak to get homework help from? Friends who only speak to you to get homework help from? Now, would you be friends with these people normally? Maybe, maybe not. It's never really come out. That's really not how you know each other. That's really not the nature of your relationship. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. That's what he's talking about. Right? These people who are, you know, they're decent people, but they're just, you know, people, whatever. You know, look at Jesus. Jesus' friends, right? Jesus' close disciples. What did he, you know, what did he gain out of that, right? Not much. He got betrayed. He died. Yeah. Not really much to be gained there. So, I mean, okay, so I don't want to make you paranoid of your friends and paranoid of your coworkers and always thinking, you know, why is he talking to me? Does he want to get something? That's not necessarily how everyone thinks. But the point is that, you know, that is a common feature in just the way we relate to the world. It's how the world relates, you know? They want to get something done, they'll do what needs to be done. But we talk about Jesus and how he does relationships differently. Next slide, please. Jesus sees past the surface us to the us we're created to be. Now, what does this mean? Now, I think of it this way, that, you know, Jesus relates to us in two really different ways. Yes, he looks past these surface distinctions, like the fact that I'm Chinese, the fact that I'm from Toronto, etc. But also, those distinctions don't actually matter to him. You know, he doesn't care that I'm Chinese and that I'm from Toronto. He'll know that, and that's cool with him. 9, you know, well, amongst many, many other verses, this is talking about the people he hangs out with. Tax collectors, prostitutes, sinners, lepers, etc. These are people that no one wants to hang out with, and he hangs out with them. It's really unusual. And you can really only stand to do that if you're looking past distinctions, or if those distinctions don't matter, and Jesus has both of them covered, right? Really, and that's what he's calling us to do. Do relationships differently, right? He's calling us to, yeah, look past surface distinctions. The fact that someone's on the street, for instance. Someone doesn't have a job, they're homeless. So that's quite a number of distinctions that set us apart from them. Now, look past that. What do we have there? Well, that's a woman. And you know what? She is hurt. That's another layer. Beyond that, she comes from a background where she was abandoned, for instance. Well, you know, the more you get to know someone, anyone, the harder it is to make keep those distinctions as reasons to not get to know them. That's the funny thing about getting to know people. When you get these stereotypes and these reasons to not associate, reasons to not be friends with a certain group or a certain person, well, it's funny because when you start to get to know them, that slowly starts to change, right? Those barriers that you made up for yourself, they start to fall away. Those reasons don't seem as strong anymore. It's funny how that is, isn't it? And I think that's kind of the way we were meant to be. To look past people. To look past these surface distinctions. That's what Jesus is all about. That's what relationships with Jesus is all about. And he's calling us to do that with each other. Hard. Maybe. But how does that actually work? Well, tell you one way. I mean, all of us approach Jesus differently. That's the thing, right? We approach Jesus differently. So Philip's asking, how do we approach the Father? Jesus, show us, how do you approach the Father? And Jesus answers, well, how do you approach me? How have each of you in your lives approached me? And it's quite a good study through how the disciples interact with quite different. Philip here is asking these questions. Thomas asks, you know, where will you go? So questions is one way. And so some of them do that. Peter makes statements often. He declares who Jesus is. That's how he relates to Jesus. That's how he approaches him. John and James, again, differently. They ask different types of questions. They ask about themselves. They ask, you know, when the kingdom comes, who of us will be on the right and left hands? Different types of questions, different types of approaching, different ways of thinking about Jesus. I mean, how do I connect with Jesus? How do I approach Jesus? Well, I'm kind of an extrovert in how I relate to people. I'm loud, I talk a lot, I push people around, stuff like that. So, for me to approach Jesus, what I find works best, although it's hardest to do, is to be quiet. Actually, probably a lot of you have trouble being quiet. I say that because it's the nature of our, you know, our media. Our media is really fast-paced. It's always about, you know, news clips. Oh, you don't want to watch a commercial. You know, you've got those TiVos, you can skip ahead. You know, all the time shifting programs where you can watch something in different time zones. Same show, but you don't have to watch commercials. Or you can miss it by half an hour or an hour. And just watch it on the next time zone. Actually, it doesn't work here, does it? It works the other way. myself, so I'm not just yammering away at God. I'm actually trying to be quiet. And it takes me a long time to actually be in a place where I'm not just praying and talking to God and trying to listen. Like, at least, it takes me like a minimum of like 20 minutes to sit still. I just can't sit still for like a long period of time. But saying something or getting my brain going. Classical music works for me. Some of you like listening to Christian music, which some of it, I guess, is classical music. Or I don't really know the genre of Christian music very well. It's just kind of a thing to me, like Christian music, pop, rock. Maybe some of you like listening to rock, but from the looks of it, I really doubt it. No offense to you all, but y'all don't look like the rockers to me. What else? What other ways? I know Lawrence likes to Lectio Divina. That's the method of just sitting there reading it out as a prayer, reading out scripture as a prayer. So that's one way. And it's as diverse as your backgrounds are diverse. It's as diverse as we are. Right? It's so unique. It's so different for each of us how we approach Jesus. And you know, the flip side of that is it's not just how we approach Jesus differently, right? Because it's the disciples didn't find Jesus. They found out. So I guess I should put it in there. Jesus approaches to us differently. He approaches some of the disciples with their followers. He approaches some of them on the road as their disciples of John the Baptist. Some of them are on the river fishing in boats with their father. Some of them have their own business, so they're just fishing by themselves. But he approaches them differently. He calls out to them. He approaches each of us differently. I mean, we share our stories of how Jesus approached us. I think we find X amount of stories where X is the number of people in this room. So then, what does this even mean? What does this even look like? What happens when you do these things? How do you know when you've approached Jesus? How do you know when Jesus has approached you? Well, the title of our sermon series is Outflow. And that's what we want to be saying. You know, this life that is tapped into Jesus, this life that approaches Jesus, that has been approached by Jesus, produces outflow. Connecting with Jesus produces outflow. Ah, look at that statement. But again, what does that mean? Well, in John 13, Jesus is telling his disciples, well, by this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. That is one. It's pretty straightforward. It's really hard to make it happen. If we love one another, all men, all people will know that we are Jesus' disciples that we produce outflow. What does this outflow in life look like? Well, a really important word of that is the word transformation, right? We think differently, act differently, feel differently. Our lives are different. How different? It could be any degree of difference. It could be one thing you do differently than you used to. You smile more to people. That's something. That's an outcome of life. You're more generous with your time, your money, listening. And all these things are just different ways, and there's no end to that list. So we go back to Philip's story. So the Bible doesn't record too much of Philip. But so church tradition says that after Jesus' death, his resurrection, his appearance to these disciples, he sends them. They scatter across the world. Well, Philip, according to tradition, ends up in a city called Hierapolis in Greece. And he's got some other disciples. disciples with him, Bartholomew, and one of the women disciples, Mary. And through his preaching, through his healing, he heals and converts the wife of the Roman official, the proconsul, who's, I guess, like the mayor of the city. Well, the mayor, he doesn't like this. He doesn't like the fact that his wife has now become a Christian. So, crucified, the whole bunch of them, three of them. Not so many. So, Philip's on the cross, and he preaches on the cross. And because of his preaching on the cross, the crowd believes, and they want to take them down from the cross. And Philip's like, yeah, take them down. Leave me up here. And that is how Philip dies. Crucified. This is the Philip who asked, show us the Father, it will be enough. And I believe that by the time Philip died, that he saw the Father. Because he had seen Jesus resurrected. And that was enough for him. So, this outflow that's produced, well, for Philip, it gave him courage. It gave him courage to preach even while he was on the cross. It gave him courage to recognize that, well, it was his time to die when he could have been pulled off that cross. It gave him that courage. For us, what kind of courage can that look like? Well, maybe it can give us courage to love. Love others courageously. Maybe it can give us courage to care. Care for what happens to people beyond our walls. Care for what happens to people who aren't us. Right? Relationships. Differently. Because it's not in our natural interest to care for others beyond ourselves. It doesn't really make sense, you know, economically, evolution-wise, right? If you're looking out for yourself, well, why split your resources? Well, Jesus is calling you to have that transformed life that does care. And that's what that outflow is meant to produce. A heart that can care. And that is able to do that. I mean, if we believe in Jesus, let's say we're Christians. Yay, we're Christians. But we don't ask ourselves these questions. We don't ask Jesus these questions that Philip asks. You know, how do you relate to people? How do I see you? How do we get along with Jesus? You know, if we don't ask these questions, well, then we're not really going to find answers, you know, out of nowhere. And then how will this outflow happen if we're not looking for it to happen? If we don't care that it happens? I mean, will we continue to rely on ourselves? Will we continue to just kind of do things however we want to do things? I don't know, maybe not. I mean, what can we do? Or, you know, if we're not asking these questions, if we're not caring, what will we let God do through us? You know, we start by talking about hiding. I didn't originally really like that clip because, you know, he's playing a game and I'm like, God's not really playing a game with us. He's not like, you know, hiding himself on purpose. But his point still stands, you know. When those kids come looking for him and they can't find him, well, his heart, not God's heart, wants to reveal himself. Wants to answer. And so he does everything he can. Makes it as easy for us to find him. Continually reaches out to us, giving hints of how we can find him. Right. Matthew 7:7-8. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seeking, you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. That's seeking God and finding Him, knocking and having the door opened. Well, that happens. That's helpful. Because you're going to be transformed. Let's pray together. Father, indeed, we have seen You. Because we have seen Jesus. We're just thankful. We are thankful that You have shown Yourself to us. And not that You stop showing Yourself to us, but that You keep on doing it. For as long as we're seeking, You will keep revealing. As long as we keep asking those questions, Lord, You will answer. Maybe not in the way we think You'll answer, but You'll answer. Teach us, Lord, to be okay with Your answers. Teach us to be okay with not have an easy answer or an actual, very tangible answer. Maybe the answer is just, I don't know. Or wait and see. Show us, no, You already have shown us that grace, Lord. Help us to accept that grace. Help us to accept that grace of that transformed life, that life of outflow that You present to us, that You want us so much. Go with us this week, daily, as we try to seek You first. And out of that, have a new way of relating to our friends, our enemies, our neighbors, strangers, just to the world, Lord, because that's what You would have of us, a new way of relating. And indeed, that's what You've created. Well, that's what You've made, a new way of relating to You. For this, we give You thanks. And we pray this for Your kingdom that comes even now in Your precious name. Lord Jesus, amen.
Thank you, Raymond, for sharing that message with us this morning. You know, as I was thinking about it again, you know, that's what having a relationship with Christ is all about. It's about a transformed life and having that life overflow into the life of others. You know, as Raymond was sharing this morning also, he's saying how if we all, took the time to just recall and remember and tell others our story of how Jesus encountered us, because He's met each and every one of us in different ways. I think that's the greatest story you could ever share and ever tell. I think I've said this story many times, that one of the reasons I'm here today as a Christian and as a pastor is because I came to know the Lord in a time of my life when it was a very difficult time, but there were 5 guys in my class. And they were Christians, and all they did was they just loved me, and they didn't even like try to, Bible thump me or anything, but they just said they prayed for me, they supported me, and then as a result, I started getting interested in the Christian faith. They said, well, you got to read the Bible, so I started reading the Bible. Next thing you know, I'm in youth group, and then I'm in youth group. That's where I gave my life to the Lord. So we all have stories like this, and I do encourage everyone to just. We have the boldness, the courage to share your transformed life. At this point, I'd like to invite the ushers forward, and we're going to take the offering, and then I'm going to invite the worship team to come forward as well. And as as the offering bag is coming around, and as they share the music, to take a moment just to reflect again on the message, as well as to and then, when you feel ready, you can come in and join in the singing as well. So could the ushers please come forward? And worship team can come up as well. Let's pray for the offering. Father God, we thank You again for today. We thank You for the message You shared with us through Your servant, Raymond. Father, again, you know, you want us to come to seek you and to be transformed by you. And so, Father, we pray, Lord, that you would just be evident in our lives, that you would seek to fill us up, and then through that, through be an outflow to others. Now, Lord, as we receive, we take the offering, I pray, Father, you would receive this offering and that it would be used again for the furtherance of your kingdom. Amen. Rise with me as we close our service this morning. Our benediction is from Isaiah chapter 33, and reading on from verse 2. O Lord, be gracious to us. We long for you. Be our strength every morning, our salvation in time of distress. Moving on to verse 5. The Lord is exalted, for he dwells on high. He will fill Zion with justice and righteousness. He will be the sure foundation for your times, a rich store of salvation and wisdom and knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the key to this treasure. Let's pray. Father God, as we close our service this morning, we pray that at the reading of your word, that you will be glorified. Father, we pray that these words will be a word of encouragement to us, to give us boldness and courage as we go out forward into the world that you've called us to. Father, we ask that your spirit will go before us. In Jesus' most holy and precious name. Amen. Well, we've got some time, so please greet one another as we get ready for Sunday school at 11:30. Please do see me outside for the outflow books. Thank you.